The message you're about to listen to is from the prophetic and teaching ministry of Pastor Chibuzo Eze. Be blessed as you listen.
We learned a lot about consecration, the power of consecration on Wednesday. If you are not around, please get the tape. I won't go over it. So this is just like a build-up of what we learned on Wednesday, where we learned that consecration is a position. It's consecration means to be separated. It means to be put aside for something useful. It means to be kept aside for something special. And that is what Jesus has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. He has made us separate unto God, okay, for good works. But consecration is a position we have come into through the sacrifice of Christ. But as believers, we have to understand that we also have to daily, consistently consecrate our lives to God. Jesus has done his part. We have to do our part based on what he has already done. So a lot of believers are available. Some are not even available. They're just born again, but we're not available. But a lot of believers are available, but they are not usable. God can't use them. They are there. But because there are certain principles that God will not change on, or God will not, when we want to do things that we know is against God's will, how we always say, God understands me. God loves me like that. That is babyish talk. God loves you like that, but God rescued you and redeemed you like that. He expects you to grow. No parent will be happy if a child remains at a particular stage all the days of his life. Nobody will like it. Everybody wants somebody to grow. Amen? Are we together? So, God wants us not just to be available, but that he may use us. What is the reason? What is the use of you being on earth and you are not usable? What is the use of having children and they cannot grow up to a point where you can put responsibilities into their hands? What's the use? So it is not just always enough to, oh, God loves me, God blesses me, and it is okay. It is not okay, because that is not what God has ordained for us. God wants to use us, because on this earth, on this side of eternity, we are the only vessels of his expression. Do we understand? When Jesus was on earth, he was the only, the splitting image of the Father. But now that believers are on earth, we are the what? We are the image of God, and we are the expressions he has on earth. So when he can't use us, we become a liability, not an asset. Praise God. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Everybody look at the screen. It says, But the firm foundation foundation of God stands sure and unshaken, bearing his seal. Inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names himself by the name of the Lord give up all iniquity and stand aloof from it. Now, see something. It says the firm foundations of God are what? They stand what? Sure and unshaken. The Bible says it, right? It does not move. The principles of God are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, it says that those who name themselves by the name of God, what should they do? They should give up what? Iniquity. Now, it's not talking about people that don't even know God. It says those who do what? Who name themselves by the name of God. Who are those? Believers, right? It says those who name themselves by the name of God should give up what? Iniquity, and stand aloof from it. Verse 20. Now, everybody, let's read this together. It says what? Why Why are we reading like we didn't go to nursery school? Amen. Okay, let me read this. I'm going to break one table now. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also utensils of wood and earthenware, and some for honorable and noble use, and some for menial and ignoble use. Did the Bible say God is the one that separates vessels of gold and silver? Is that what your Bible says? It says in a house, there are. Now, did it say that it's God that makes, or it is the owner of the house that brings utensils of earthenware? Or did it say that it is the owner of the house that separates the ones for noble or ignoble use? Is that what the Bible says? Let's pay attention, because this thing has been taught over the years that it is the owner of the house that separates. Let's continue. Verse 21. It says, so whosoever cleanses himself. Remember, there's a line of thought. It says, so whosoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be what? A vessel set apart and usable for what? Honorable and noble purposes. So who determines what is used for what? The vessel. Amen. Are we together? Praise God. You know, it has been taught so many times that they even use us, for example. Your mommy has plates that she keeps specially only when visitors come, right? And then there are some that they use generally. But really, I'll ask you the question, why is it that there are some that the mother or the woman of the house keeps separately? It's because those vessels are made of more expensive material. So it is not her per se that just wants to separate it. When you buy a vessel of 1,000 naira, you buy another one of 10,000. The way you will treat the one of 10,000 will be different from the way you treat the one of 1,000. Is it not true? Is it not true? It's basic. Okay? Even the clothes you wear, the one you spend more money on, you tend to treat what? More specially. Now, are you the one that determined the price of the clothes? No. It is the material himself. Praise God. If you go to the market and buy lace, especially the big lace, okay, it will be different from the amount you buy Ankara, right? Right? So, you can wear Ankara in the house, just bringing it down to the basic things that we know, right? But lace, because you remember that maybe you bought it for 50,000 or 100,000, you want to keep it for what? Special purposes. So, will Ankara start complaining that you are the one that chose lace over him? Why? It's the material that determines. Amen. So, have I been able to break that thing that we have learned over the years? So, let's continue. It says, so, whosoever cleanses himself, he has given us that whosoever cleanses is now telling us how you become a material made unto honorable use, right? It says, so, whosoever, now, the issue is not, it said, some are made of gold, some are made of silver, some wood, some what? Earthenware, okay? So, but the important thing is that even though you are made of wood or gold or earthenware or whatever, it's the purpose that matters. Are you made for honorable use or for dishonorable use? Okay, so whosoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for noble and honorable purposes. Consecrated. Okay? And this person is the person that becomes profitable to the master. It says, fit and ready for any good work. If this vessel will separate himself from contaminating and corrupting influences, then this vessel will automatically be used for honorable purposes. He will be consecrated, and that is when he will become profitable, and the master can use it. Next verse, please. 22. It says, shun youthful lust. Still telling us how we can become honorable. Shun youthful lust and flee from them, and aim at and pursue righteousness. But I thought we were always already righteous. But the Bible says what? Aim at and pursue righteousness. All that is virtuous and good. Right living. Conformity to the will of God. In what? In thought, in word, and in what? Deed. You can see the progression. First of all, in thought. Because your thoughts will definitely translate to your words. Your words will translate to your deed. By the way a person talks, you already know that this thing was didn't just start with the mouth. It started with what? Thoughts from the heart. Okay? And from the words, it will eventually go to deeds. It says, and aim at and pursue faith, love, and peace, harmony, and concord with others, in fellowship with all Christians who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23. Are we together? Are we together? Verse 23. It says, but refuse, shut your mind against, have nothing to do with trifling. That's ill-informed, undefined, stupid controversies over ignorant questionings. For you know that they foster strife and breed quarrel. Stay away from things that will bring quarrel. Stay away from situations that will make you start fighting. Or he calls them stupid conversations. Things that don't have any headway. You just stay there and you're arguing and you're arguing. Okay? Next verse, 24. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome. The servant of the Lord is not talking about a pastor. He's talking about the vessel that is fit and ready to be used. He said, and the servants, because everybody, if you were in the workers, we are both sons and we are both what? Servants. Sons and servants. So, are you a servant of the Lord? So, the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting and contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone and mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher. Some translation says he must be a teacher and he must also be apt to learn. So really, you can't be a teacher if you are not also willing to learn. It says patient and forbearing and willing to suffer wrong. Okay, next verse, 25. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth. That they will perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with and acknowledge it. Last one, 26. And that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him, henceforth to do that's God's will. It's a long read, but it's a necessary one. So we could see from these verses that we read that number one, it is not the master that determines whether a vessel will be used for honorable or inhonorable use. Have you been able to establish that? It is the vessel that determines. That is why I said a lot of believers are available, but we are not usable. God can't use us because we are not fit already. God has a standard. When we started, we read that God's principles are unshaken. Okay, so you can't fit God into your own lifestyle. You can't fit God into a box. You can't say, God, this is how I want it done, and you have to fit him into it. God doesn't work like that. He's not your boy. The Holy Spirit is not a plaything that we play with, and we just always, at the end of the day, oh, grace covers me. Oh, God loves me. Yes, grace does cover you, but we expect you to grow. Praise God. So God wants us to be usable and profitable. God wants to use us. He wants to use us. Okay, so let's also check 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to be giving us a lot of scriptures to check. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read verse 1 to 4. The same amplified. 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's go to 1 to 4. Okay, let's look at it together. It says, furthermore, brethren, we beg and admonish you in virtue and our union with the Lord Jesus that you follow the instructions which you have learnt from us about how you ought to walk so as to please and gratify God. Are we together? So there is a way you ought to what? Walk towards, please and gratify God. So you don't just do things anyhow. Okay, it says, as indeed you are doing, and that you do so even more and more abundantly, attaining yet greater perfection in living this life. Verse 2. For you know what charges and precepts we gave you on the authority and by the inspiration of the Lord Jesus. Verse 3. That means we gave you charges, we gave you instructions according to what Jesus told us. For this is the will of God. What is the will of God? That this is the will of God. What is the will of God? Let's say it together, please. What is the will of God? That you should be what? Consecrated. What does it mean to be consecrated? Separated and what? For what? For pure and holy living. That you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice. Verse 4. That each one of you should know how to possess, control, manage his own body. In what? What is consecration here? And again? Profane and what? Honor. That you should what? Oh, sorry, let me. That each one of you should control your body. Praise God. You might say that I'm not boring you. I'm showing you scriptures to show what the Bible says. Now, when we were praying earlier, you know, the person that led prayer talked about the fact that we know that Christ has consecrated us, right? That is a position we have come into. But now the Bible is telling us that we also have to deliberately live a consecrated life, a pure life. It's we are moved onto consecration, onto purity, onto separation. It is not enough to say, oh, I have been consecrated. Oh, I have been made pure. You also have to live the life of purity, or else it would not be balanced. You would have a nature that you are not exhibiting. So what makes God to be able to use you, what makes you become usable in the hand of the master, is not the fact that you have been consecrated by the death of Christ. It's the fact that you make yourself consecrated daily. Let's also check 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. 5 verse 23. Let's look at the scriptures together. Let's read together. It says, and may the God of peace himself what? Sanctify you through and through. Separate you from what? Profane things. Make you and what? To who? And make your spirit and soul and body be what? Sound and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, he's speaking to believers here, and Paul is still praying for them that the God of all peace may he sanctify you through and through and separate you from profane things and make you pure and holy, consecrated to God after the initial consecration. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 15 to 18. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 15 to 18. What does it say? What harmony? What harmony can there be between Christ and what? Belial, the devil. Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Verse 16. It says, what agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? For we are what? The temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in and with and among them and will walk in and with and among them and I will be their God and they shall be my people. Verse 17. So, come out from among unbelievers. Did he say God will help you to come out? It says what? Come out from among them, among unbelievers, and do what? Separate, sever yourselves from them, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor. Verse 18. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Again, God speaking to believers. He says, come out from among them. He says, don't touch impure things. Don't expose yourself to impure things. Now you might begin to think, okay, what are impure things? I don't do idols. I don't do... But everything we've learned that the inroads to your heart, into your spirit, are what? Your eyes, your ears, the things you see, the things you hear consistently. It says separate yourself, because if you don't separate yourself, I cannot be a father to you. You will call me father, but you cannot experience fatherhood from me. And you cannot truly be my sons. Praise God. Example, a logical example. If a man gives birth to a child, doesn't necessarily mean he's the one that has his blood flows in that child, right? He is the father of that child biologically. But if another man takes up the responsibility of that child and takes care of the child from day one, for example, if the father says, I'm not, or they got separated somehow, and then another person takes up that child, and the child grows up with that person for the next 40, 50 years, who will the child regard as father? The one that did what? That took care of him. Not necessarily the one that his blood flows in his veins. So somebody can have a father, and the person can, might not really be your father. Meaning your blood, his blood flows through your veins. But because there is no relationship, you have not been able to enjoy the benefits of fatherhood from that person. So a lot of believers are like that. God is our father, but we don't enjoy the benefits of fatherhood. Why? We are still mixing with profane things, with impure things. And we expect God to release, generally, God would always release his blessings. He would always love us the same way he would love every other person. But you will be limited in the expressions of God that you can get. Praise God. So the determinant, who determines the amount of what we get from the Father? It is us, not God. Hallelujah. So God wants us to live holy lives. Lives that are consecrated and separated unto honor. Everything and every person God can use must be set apart. Holiness is the understanding of righteousness. Holiness is what? The understanding of righteousness. We have been taught here several times by Pastor. Righteousness is a state that has been conferred upon us when we became born again. We became right with God. We can stand before God. Okay? And holiness is a byproduct of righteousness. So we have become holy. And what does it mean to be holy? It's to be separate. If I say, like we usually say, if I decide, it is a righteous being that can make, that can declare something holy. The popular example that Pastor always uses, the microphone. This is a microphone. A microphone can be used to amplify sound anywhere. Not in a club, in a church, in any event, in a naming ceremony, anywhere you go to. But when we now decide that we buy a microphone and then we use it for church. Example, if I come tomorrow and say, oh, they want to have a festival, Arugungu Festival, and they are looking for equipment. And we say that the church is giving them equipment. How will it sound to you? What's the first thing that will go through your mind? Like, are we all right? 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 But if they get equipment from outside, is it not the same microphone? It's the same amplifier. But what is the difference? Because this has constantly been used in a church. We term it, and we, in our minds, we have said this thing is what? Is holy. This thing is set aside. Praise God. Do we understand? It's the same thing with this pulpit. Okay? Do you know there are times, there are some places where they'll say, if they are praying, they'll say, come and touch the pulpit. Okay? And once the person comes to touch the pulpit, maybe the person has an encounter or he falls down. Some people do it, right? What is the difference? Is it not just a glass pulpit? Is it not just a glass pulpit? Or if it was a wooden one, is it not a wooden pulpit? But what makes it separate? Okay? Because it has been used in the service to God. It has been set aside consistently. So when people see it, they term it as what? Holy, not righteous. A thing cannot be righteous. But because righteous men have consistently used that thing, you now say, oh, this is holy. It's the same thing with a holy place. Maybe if people go to a particular place consistently, and why do people go to Jerusalem? Why do people go to the tomb of Jesus? They regard it as what? A holy place. It is not righteous. Why? Because of the use of that particular place over time. Do we understand what I'm saying? I'm not shouting this morning. Okay? I want us to understand. So, because we are righteous, because we have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, automatically we have become holy unto God. And holy means it is something that is separate. So, if you will not want to take a microphone to a festival, how will a righteous, holy being be found in different places at different times? Today you are in church. Tomorrow you are where? In club. Next tomorrow, or let me even talk about members of the body. I shouldn't talk about, because some of us might not actually go to club. Things that pertain to us. Today you use this to speak in the Holy Ghost. And you sing, God, I love you, I submit to you, this mouth, this member of your body. And that same day, before you leave, before that day runs out, the kind of things that come out from your mouth, you know, those kind of things, like, if I talk to you, you will, what are those things they used to say? You go and think about your life, or you will cry. The same mouth. And then we expect that, you know, that same mouth, when I finish talking to you and I go back, I say, oh, God will just use that mouth to speak prophecy. How come? How can profanity and good come out from the same mouth? It doesn't work. One pipe cannot carry two kinds of things of water. It can't. And fresh water. And then you open your tap tomorrow and see bad water. You can't. The pipe has to carry only one. So God and profanity, they don't mix together. So these are things that a lot of us don't consider. Some of us is our thoughts. You can say, okay, the mouth, at least everybody is hearing that one. The kind of thoughts you think. And God sees the heart. God doesn't really look at, we might be deceived by you or your the way you behave, or the, God bless you, sister, your brother. But God sees the heart. What did God tell Samuel when he wanted to go and pick David? Samuel saw Eliab and Shammah, and he said, oh, surely. He was so sure because of their build, probably because of the way they greeted him when he came in. Maybe they even prostrated or gave him a very outstanding greeting. I said, oh, this must be the Lord's anointed. And God said, I have rejected him. God didn't say, just say, he is not the one. God said, I have rejected him. That means God tried him. And God rejected him. You can't reject something you have not tried. So before God got to David, he went round. All the seven brothers, none of them were usable. But they were all available. Not one of them. God jumped the first, second, until he got to David. David didn't have the physical presence that we would have imagined. He was even forgotten. But it was the one that God saw his heart and said, this is the one that is separate unto me. So we cannot play down on our separation. And it has to be a conscious effort to understand that to work for God, to work with God, we have to be separate. So especially in a world now where everything just seems to be like, everything is going for the youth. Everything, just do it. God understands. God will just pat your back and say, don't worry. God will never leave me. I detest that thing. I'm sorry to say. When you know you are doing something wrong and you are saying, well, God's grace is still available. We know God, you know, we know God just loves me like that. That's trampling on God's grace. People say, I'm not good at this thing. And that is just how I am. Then get better at the thing. Grow for God's sake. You know me, I'm not good in doing this kind of thing. No. I'm not good in, probably I don't know how to talk. Me, in our house, we don't know how to talk. Go and learn how to talk. There's a way you can learn how to talk. In our house, we just have anger issues. That's how my father too used to beat my mom. Everybody just has anger issues. But God loves me like that. God can't use you. He can't. And if God can't use you, who is the one that doesn't benefit? You are the one, not God. Because if God doesn't use you, He will use somebody else. Praise God. So a lot of us want to be used by God. We cry it out. We say it in prayer. We say, oh God, use me. Or when we are in tight situations, that's when we remember, oh God, I want to be used. But there is a process that God has laid down for us to be used. And we have to abide by that process. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at that 2 Timothy. And we're going to pick out things from 2 Timothy that God has laid down as principles for us. After that, we will pray. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Sorry, it might not be anyway. It's not a sermon that will make you shout. A sermon that will make you think and decide what you really want to do. Because you realize that God's using you. A lot of us read things like God's generals. I'm like, oh God, I want to be used like Catherine Coleman. Or you see a minister, or you see somebody doing wonderful things. Oh God, why would you use me? You want to see the results, but you don't want to pay the price. There is a price to pay. And that price is a separated life. Separated in all things. That is the man that God can use. God can't share. He can't share you with you. If you are going to be for God, it has to be total. God cannot share you with yourself. Not even with others. You with yourself. Meaning that you always say, this is how I want it done. God will leave you. Get it done yourself. But you know the problem with that? We get to the point where we get to the end of ourselves. Then we remember God. So let's look at from verse 19. Okay, let's go to 20. Okay, in a great house there are many. Okay, we've established this. 21. So what's the first thing here for somebody who is to be consecrated? I'm not giving you summary. I'm looking at it together. All of us are looking. Even me, I'm speaking to myself. Okay. So what's the first thing? Cleanse yourself. He that is going to be consecrated must learn to what? Cleanse himself from what is unclean. Okay, that is the first thing. You must learn to cleanse yourself from everything that is unclean. Anything that is not glory, that does not glorify God. Okay, that song. Whatever doesn't look like you, that is inside of me. Take it away. You can also take it away. Amen. My mouth. Keep your mouth shut. Come. Slap you. No. Zip the mouth. If your mouth is your problem, learn to zip it. Praise God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Say hallelujah when I'm saying praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, it's good to sing. I'm not saying don't. The Holy Spirit can reveal those things to you. But I'm telling you that most of the first step is in our hands. When we take the first step, okay, so if you know this is a challenge, if people are is a challenge, work on it. You can't say anyone that seems to see this thing and you tell me that I understand myself, okay, but you are not to live for yourself. People around you should be able to see the same thing you are seeing. So if they are not seeing, that means that there is something with the way you are doing a particular thing. So work on it. So it says cleanse yourself. Now, the first one is to clean yourself. That means that the things that are inside of you that does not glorify God, do away with it. If it's friends, if it's movies, whatever it is. It says, do away with it. It says, whatever is ignoble and unclean. Okay? That is number one. You also see that in Ephesians chapter 5, 26. Okay? Then the second one, you can read that up yourself. Ephesians 5, 26. What's the second one? After cleansing yourself. It says, who separates himself from contact with contaminating or corruptible influences. So the first one is cleanse yourself. The second one, separate yourself. There are two different things. You cleanse something that is in, then he says things that will constantly put you back into that position. Do what? Separate yourself from it. People that want to be consecrated, separate yourself. So we have people like Samson in the Bible, okay, who knew that something was wrong. People told him he was wrong, but he kept going down to Timnah. Kept going down to meet Jezebel. And eventually, what he did not separate him from himself finished him. You also see that in 2 Timothy 2, chapter, verse 4. Then the next one, okay, separate yourself from corruptible influences, and then you will be a vessel set apart and useful for, profitable for the master. Verse 22, next verse. It says what? What's the next one? Shun useful lust. And what did he say? Apart from shunning it. Ah. You know, there are two different things. What does it mean to shun? Like, okay, I don't want this. But apart from shunning it, what does it say? Flee youthful lust. It says run. Run is a mild translation of flee. Run away from youthful lust. What are the youthful lusts we see around now? I'm asking questions. I'm not... Yahoo, Yahoo. Thank you. No, it's true now. Yahoo, Yahoo. Okay? Let's talk now. We see these things on social media. Let's talk. Sorry? Entertainment. Okay, entertainment. Yes, entertainment. What? What else? BB Ninja. Well, yes, because I don't see what that program is doing anyway. I'm asking questions because this has to do with us. Stop doing that, see if you don't understand what I'm saying. Okay? What else? Sorry? Thank you. Fornication. Indecent dressing, okay? Let's say these things. We know them, okay? Bet Niger, thank you. In this group, it's only Adasa that has spoken. So, let me come here. Okay. Prophetic, thank you. Avak, you people are not here, right? Alcoholism, thank you. What else? Drugs. Smoking, thank you. Because all these things are things that people do and they make it look like, okay, when we do them, we are guy now. You understand? We are guy. So you even go to work and then among believers, you hear them speaking about, you know, did you see what happened in BB Niger, how that girl did that? And when you don't join them, it's almost as if, are you not in this world? But really, how does that, even morally speaking, how does that help you in any way? Even if you, like Brother Marcel, even if you put away spiritual things, if you put aside spiritual things, really, how does it help you? Does it help you grow, even naturally, intellectually? There is nothing. It's void, it's empty. There is nothing there. So all these things that people portray, some of them have even started slipping into the church. Some of them have slipped into the church. You know, I heard somebody saying, somebody did something. And a Christian was saying, that thing he did, even if it, Yahoo Yahoo would have been better than this one that he did. And I was like, excuse me. The person got involved in some fraudulent act. I said, he shouldn't have done that one. At least he should have done Yahoo Yahoo. I was like, what's the difference? Just because maybe that one, isn't it all still fraud? Everything is still under fraud. But it's okay. Since Yahoo Yahoo, you know, it's not like nobody is dying in Yahoo Yahoo. Nobody is, you know, so that one, people are doing it. People are doing it is not a reason. The Bible says, shun it. That means make sure that you, when people come around, they know that these things are not things that should even be discussed around you. Then he says what? Flee from them. Run away from them. These are things that have entrance into your mind, through your eyes and your ears. When he says shun them, also shun people that will constantly bring these things as normal to you. Shun it. It doesn't glorify God. So shun useful lust and then flee from it. Okay, these are some of the sacrifices we make to be separate. You know, when you look at the life of people like Mary in the Bible, you know, Mary was a teenager when she got pregnant. I hope you know. She was between the age of 14 and 16. And you cannot imagine the weight of that decision that she made. because that means that she was going to be separated from her family. It meant that she was probably going to die, because in those days they don't deal lightly with fornication, talk less of you getting pregnant. Then it also meant that she would probably lose the love of her life. The knight in shining armor that has come to sweep her off her feet. Probably in those days, if they were wearing three-piece suits, that was what he used to command. They were already introduced. They had already done their introduction. The families knew one another. But she was ready to give that up. She was ready to be mocked by friends and family to stand for God. When we read these things, don't just read it casually. See the sacrifices people made. They said, oh, wow, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And over 2,000 years since then till now, from then till now, her name is still resounding. And you want to be like that. We want to celebrate. Hey, Mary, I want to be like Ruth. Do you know what Ruth lost? To follow God. She was a Moabite. She knew where she was going to. She was not going to be accepted. But she was willing to follow Naomi anyway. 10 years now. Ruth was married for 10 years. Not a child. She lost her husband. She lost her husband's brother. She lost her father-in-law. She was still willing to stand with God. In this generation, God, I'm 26. No brother is coming. If the brother does not come in the next 1 year, I promise you, I will leave you. Bye-bye. I will not serve you anymore. Or something happens. I'm not going to go to church anymore. Go and sit down at home now. As in, it's the frivolities we play with when it comes to God. I marvel at it. And I will use normal examples. Some of us will not do that at work. Even work. Let your guy even slap you. You'll still be there next morning. Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma'am. Because you know that bang will enter at the end of the salary, at the end of the month. But when it comes to service with God, we play with it. Sister, this one eyed me yesterday. Tomorrow I will deal with her. Or I will not come to church. Then we now have to start. We will call you. Why didn't you see me in church? We know why you didn't come, but we will call you. But all these things are what? Trivial things. And God cannot use them. Number, next one, please. Let's be fast. Okay. It says, shun and flee from them. Run away from them. It says, and do what? Aim at and pursue. Pursue. The same energy you used to flee from. Is put the energy into what? Pursuing the laws of the Father. Pursuing the principles down. There is nothing that Jesus told us to do that he has not given us grace to do. Nothing. Don't ever say, oh, this thing, it is too difficult for me. There is nothing difficult for a believer. Especially a believer that has the Holy Ghost. Nothing is difficult. It says, pursue righteousness with all your heart. Make sure you practically give up everything to make sure that you pursue righteousness. Pursue righteousness. It says, all that is virtuous and good, right living, conformity to the will of God. In what? In thought. Pursue righteousness in your what? In your thoughts, in your words, and in your what? In your deeds. Make sure that everything you think about, the devil will bring thoughts. Pull them down and make sure that your thoughts are constantly thoughts of righteousness. Somebody annoys you, there is no way your natural human tendencies will be angry. But the Bible says, be angry, but what? Don't sin. So when the anger, when it's beginning to get to thoughts of bitterness, pull those thoughts and pursue righteousness. And decide that I will love irrespective of what happens. It says, when you do this in your thoughts, it will also come about in your words. The Bible says, let your words be seasoned with what? With grace, so that it will help the hearers. And then number three, your deeds. It says, and act and pursue what? Faith, love, and what? Peace with all men. These are the standards that God has placed down for a consecrated life. For a consecrated life. So it says, pursue righteousness. Pursue the will of God. Amen? Amen. And pursue, the next one, aim at pursuing faith, love, and peace. Three very important things. Faith, love, and peace. With others in fellowship and all Christians. Then the next verse. The next verse, verse 23. It says, and what? Refuse. Shut your mind against what? Have anything to do with trifling. What is trifling? Ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies. He did it. He did not do it. He did it. He did not. Were you there? You heard it in a gossip or you heard it in news. At the end of the day, it's just going to be a controversy. You were not there. They say. Keep away from those things. Or else if you were there. So when people come and say, hey, did you hear that they say this person, and you know it's always pastors. Most of the time it's pastors. There's one very stupid one I heard over the week, and I attacked it immediately. I don't know whether I should say it since we are recording. Don't worry, I won't say it. You see me in camera if you want to hear it. But I attacked it immediately. Somebody was comparing somebody with a great man of God. I was telling the great man of God to learn. No, I'll say it. Stupid controversies that don't take you anywhere. He says stay away from those things. Because those controversies have put a lot of people into unnecessary worry, unnecessary things. He says refuse, shut your mind against and have nothing to do with trivelings. Most of the time, if you come to meet me about a particular issue that I don't have information about, I'll tell you I don't know. And I don't even want to know. Okay? I don't know. So that my mind can be at peace. We must learn it as believers. It is not everything you must comment on. It is not everything you will see. It's not everything that goes on Facebook, on social media, that you must comment or see. At times, these things pull you down more than lifting you up. So, recently now, a lot of people are questioning God because somebody was praying money in his burial, in his mother's burial. Some people are saying, God, where are you? That has now become the parameters of knowing God. It's over current questions. You know that they foster what? Strife and do what? Breed quarrels. So anything that would lead to you start arguing, it's like this, it's not like this. He says, stay away from it. And once you realize that it's building up, what should you do? Just drop it. You must not always have the last say. To allow peace reign, just drop it. The next verse, 24. It says, after this, it talks about the way we relate. It says, the servant of God must not be what? Quarrelsome, fighting and contending. Quarrelsome with an even bike men. Amen? Just let it go. It's 10 naira. Let him go. Okay? If it's 20 naira, you told me it was 50 naira. It doesn't have change. Just let it go. And you're in front of church. Amen? Okay, please. Any kind of quarrelsome. Okay, even if you say that is the last 20, just let it go. Please, let it go. Okay, you now enter church and say, praise God, I'm blessed. Show that you are blessed. As I say, it says anything that it says, don't quarrel, don't fight, so don't contend. Like I was saying last week, let it go, live life, be free, don't be so stiff. Somebody annoys you, let it go. We will always annoy one another because you are not somebody else. So let it go. Free up and like, don't go doing faith like somebody poo-pooed in front of your house. Even if they poo-pooed in front of your house, forgive and let it go. Okay, and smile and enjoy life. Okay? Praise God. Amen. Okay, instead, he must be what? Kind to everybody. Kind. Now, this is not just talking about pastors. Amen? He's talking about everybody. Be kind. Because somehow everybody will say, oh, you are the pastor, you are the one that you call. You to be kind. Be kind to one another. Be kind to people above. Be kind to people that are your contemporaries. Be kind to people that are under you. Okay? People that are not up to you. Be kind in your words. Be kind in your actions. Be kind in things you do. Kindness is something we see. You don't just come and tell me, I'm kind, though. I'm a very kind person. We see it. Be kind. Be kind. Think about the other person when you are. When you are saying something, what is your motive? Is it to, do you know some people say things to hurt others? It happens. Maybe if I'm angry with someone, the thoughts will come. You know, say this thing so that it will pinch the person very well. But we have a choice. It says, be kind in it, and tempered, having the bond of peace. Even if you want to talk, make sure that you say things in a mild tempered way, so that the bond of peace will still be there. And when you know you have breached it, apologize. Don't be too big or too small to say you are sorry. Truly. Because there are times we will step out of, maybe we really get angry and we say you are sorry. Do you know there are times when the other person is the one wrong and you are right, but because of the way you reacted, you now end up feeling guilty because you know you overreacted. Then you end up having to be the one to apologize. Okay? So just for the sake of love, for the sake of consecration, drop it. He must be skilled and suitable. I wrote in my Bible that you must be willing to be taught and be willing to teach. The world, the teacher that the world sees is you, not necessarily the pastor. The teacher you see in the church is the pastor. The teacher the world sees is you. So it is what you learn you can give out. At times when people talk, I know that they've not learned anything. Because it's from the things you say, I know that you are void, empty. So really, the mark of somebody who can teach is the mark of somebody who has been taught. If you have not been taught, you can't teach. You will just be empty, and everybody around will know it. Praise God. Okay, so verse 25. We're rounding up. Okay, sorry. Go back to 24. It is the bond of peace. He must be skilled and suitable teacher, patient and forbearing, and willing to suffer wrong. Praise God. Let's look at these scriptures, then we end. Romans 1, verse 7. Romans 1, verse 7. Romans 1, verse 7. Are we there? It says, to you then, all God's beloved ones in Rome, called to be saints and designated for a consecrated life. We have been designated for what? A consecrated life. To live a consecrated life. It says, we have been consecrated. We have been designated. That is what God has designated us to do. To live a consecrated life. Okay? It says, and then let's check Romans 12, verse 1. 12, 1. It says what? I appeal to you. Let's look at the screen. I appeal to you, dear brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of what? Of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties. Did you see what when he said your bodies, all your members and faculties, as what? As a living sacrifice. What? Holy, devoted, and what? Consecrated. And well-pleasing to God, which is your what? Reasonable and rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. It says when you dedicate your members, present your members and your faculties, it said they are consecrated unto God. So really, the consecration of our lives is the consecration of our members and our faculties. The last one, Ephesians 1 verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Even as in his love, you chose us. He chose us. Actually, picked us out for himself as his own in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him. And blameless in his sight. Even above reproach, before him in love. He said we should be consecrated for who? For him. Set aside for who? For God. So our consecration and our separation is for one person, and that is God. When we separate ourselves, we are not separating ourselves unto nothingness. We are separating ourselves unto God. That is when we can be regarded as vessels of honor. God is not the one that will determine if you're a vessel of honor or not. You determine. You determine by what you give your members and your faculties to. Not God. Let's rise up on our feet. The saints of God generally are the consecrated ones. But God expects of us to constantly consecrate ourselves to Him. And it starts with our members and our faculties. What we give ourselves to, what we allow or disallow, the things that come into us and the things that come out from us. There is no point you will get to in your life, you say, oh, I have totally lived a consecrated life. There is no point. No point. We are praying. So I'm not going to give you a prayer point. Speak to God. As much as we love to lift up holy hands and sing songs, the Bible says your reasonable service is constantly consecrating your members and your faculties to God. Every member of your body, everything that makes your body, it is your choice. A desire to be used by God or used of God can't just stop with a desire. There are certain things that you must do, certain things that must be laid down. Stop giving yourself the excuse every time, this is who I am. God has said you must give yourself. Stay away from things that don't glorify God. In your thoughts, in your words, in your deeds. I'm not going to whine you to pray. It depends on how much you want to be used by Him. God doesn't have a problem with us falling. He doesn't have an issue with us making mistakes. But it is the things that we desire to do that makes the difference. The life of God in you is precious. It is worth more than anything money can buy. It is the life of God Himself. And He wants to live that life through you. But you have to give yourself. Give yourself. Give yourself. Make a decision this morning and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You can make that decision. You can make that decision. Oh, Jesus. You can make that decision.
You have been listening to the Visionary of Grace Fortress Church, a God breath ministry with a mandate to equip the saints for the work of the ministry through the teaching and the preaching of the word of grace and the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. To partner with us or to download more messages, visit www.gracefortresschurch.com. You can also follow us on social media at Grace Fortress Church. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Grace Fortress Church. God loves you.